What do you base your life on? How do you know if you're succeeding or failing? What are you shooting for? One of the greatest guys I've ever known gave me this advice at some point. He said, Jake, you need to base your life on Scripture. He said, you need to read the Bible every day with an open heart and be looking for what is a passage that God lays on your heart and says, Jake, this is who you're supposed to be. This is who I've made you to be. So I began to search through the Bible, eagerly looking for that. And Maywood, as a church, we're a family, and we've followed that same advice. There's a couple passages in Scripture that we feel like God has given to us as a church to be kind of key passages for who we're supposed to be. And we can look to those and see, are we succeeding or failing at being the church God wants us to be? And it's not that the whole Bible is not important. We obviously want to lift up the whole Bible, but these are verses we come back to over and over again. So today, we're going to look at these two passages and see in this last year, how have we been doing? How have we measured up to those? And then next week, we're going to get to dream about where could we go with these two passages in mind. So, Bob, do you want to start us with the first one?
Yep. The first one is the Great Commission, which comes at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. And I said in the early service, and I really think it's true, this is just the great opportunity. As we do what Jesus tells us to do individually, it is just a great opportunity for us. So if you're here today and this is your maybe first time in church or you haven't been in church for a long time, hear this as an opportunity. You can be what we're going to talk about. We're going to have we have some stools up here. We have three guys come and share their story. We could have a lot more, but we only have so much time. And so think about this as opportunity, but it's also responsibility. And really next week, we're going to look back to the past today, but next week they're going to talk about just the opportunity before us. And so if you look around, just a little preview, if you look around, there are about 400 people in here, thereabouts. What would happen if we had 800 people that we touched? 800 new lives, 800 new opportunities. So think about that. So here's the deal, okay? You ready? Jesus said, go and make disciples. So the opportunity is to be a disciple. To follow the greatest leader of all time, to follow the one who had the best personality. He was the funniest. He was the wisest. He was the kindest. He was the most loving. He was everything. You have a chance to have a personal relationship with him and to live with him. And that's just absolutely amazing. That is your opportunity. It is our responsibility as a church to help people get there. It's hard to see Jesus except through a human body. And so it's our job to show him to people and to help people get to know him. So go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I saw Chris come out during the song, and he kind of did a little fist pump up here. Chris, wherever you're sitting, yay, good move right there. That's a lot of fun. And so we are to baptize people in water, but baptism means immersion. That's why he got completely wet. We are to also immerse him in the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here's the opportunity for us. We can live in a life with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit as our very best friend. That can be done. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Let's look at the next. We're to teach people to obey everything Jesus has commanded us. That is your opportunity. I was thinking earlier about Joe. I get Joe's newsletter and his promos. Joe goes around the country teaching. There, people pay you pretty good money to teach. And it's kind of fun to read that and also to be your friend and to have you in our church. But there's a better teacher, and that's the Lord. And everybody here has an opportunity, a real opportunity to be taught by the greatest being of all. And so, amen. He's also told us to do it by word and deed. And then here's his promise, and that is, I'm with you always, always, not part-time. I'm with you always. You can know the personal relationship with the Lord all the time. That's a great opportunity. So that's our commission. That's our job. That's our opportunity. That's our responsibility. It's all those things, and we want to live in it. So let's try to describe, Jake, how we go about doing that.
Yeah, so when we think about how are we making disciples here at Maywood, if you look around, you know we're not always the average church, and so we don't always make disciples in the average way. So I've actually asked Rob Annan to come up. Rob, if you can join us. So I've got kind of, this is a picture of Rob here recently.
Rob is the guy on the left.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
just wanted you to know.
That's post leg day.
Okay. There you go. So leg day, you're talking about working out. Tell us a little bit about what you do 3 nights a week up here.
Okay. Kind of tell you what we do. It started about a year and a half ago. I was down in Josh Monk's class in November. And you know how Josh is coming to you. He's like, man, you're scrawny, dude. You need to come work out with me. And I'm like, okay, cool, dude. Because Josh always had a way to see things in people that we didn't, that we couldn't see ourselves. He could see
the potential.
Yeah, he could see the potential in people that we couldn't see. And so I went up there and worked out with him the Tuesday before Thanksgiving 2015. Couldn't move for a week. Pretty sore. And so just kept on at it, you know, kept working out and doing that. You know, you get to learn a lot about people when you're one-on-one with people, you know, kind of like Jesus did with the disciples. And so from there, you know, we worked out for a while. Then Josh got sick, and a couple guys got on board. And Johnny Lara, wherever you're at right there, about a year ago, his son, Corvin, was getting baptized. And so Johnny's like, well, I'm going to get baptized too. And I said, well, you know what the Bible says about baptism. You have to be saved before you're baptized. And so he got down on his knees right there and got saved in the right by the squat rack. So, but that's...
You ought to just come work out one time to listen to Rob talk, okay? Because that is exactly how he talks. And there were four grown men on their knees. And Johnny was one of the four, and he invited Jesus to be a savior. So it's kind of fun. So amen.
So the fruit of that is last 3 weeks ago Monday, really beautiful, like 70-degree Monday evening. Donnie had said something about, well, let's just stay outside and let's just do a push-up workout out here because it's so nice. And so we're out there doing push-ups out by the Boy Scout trailer, and this dude's pulling a suitcase, wearing a winter coat, and it's 70 degrees, and, you know, Johnny's like, man, what's up, dude? And he's like, man, I'm hurting, dude. I'm freaking broken. And so Johnny stopped what he was doing, took him down to detox, and then kind of took him under his wing, and he's the guy that got baptized here last Sunday on Easter. So that's what being a disciple is, you know. You don't stop with one. You just keep it growing. You know, and we got a group of guys down there. We come down Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. We do a little bit of weightlifting on Mondays. And then Tuesdays, you know, we played basketball about a month ago on Tuesday night or something like that, and it was fun. And so we started playing again and again. And so last week we had about 20 guys up here. We rotated in and just had a blast. I mean, it's just good fellowship. I don't know. It's great. It's a great thing.
Yeah, so Chris Pinnick, who was just baptized, I know he's one of the guys that's been coming a lot. Tell me a little bit about how you've gotten involved in his life.
Well, I used to, before I started teaching Sunday school, we took some classes up at one of Wayne's classes, and Chris was in there, and I'd see him, and I'd be like, what's up? And he'd be like, what's up? And that was about it. And so, and then back about a month ago, he's going through some stuff, and he's like, man, I just need more fellowship, dude. I don't know what to do. I'm wandering around all by myself now, and I just need more fellowship. And so I was like, well, come on down and work out. And so Chris is a pretty big dude. I mean, he can lift some weight. And so, you know, getting him in there, it kind of pushes other people to kind of to work out more, but or to work out harder. But not only that, like the Bible says in Matthew 18:20, it says, where two or more are gathered around my name, I am in the midst of them. And so Chris knew that he needs to be around some Christian people or, you know, he's not going to be able to grow as good. And so what a perfect place for a bunch of guys that have some time on their hands in the evening to come up and do. And so,
yeah, and well, I've gotten to know Chris pretty well here these last few months, and Chris talks a lot about the role that you've had and the role that these other guys have had and just encouraging him week in and week out, even when he's going through storms in his life. He's growing as a man, growing as a Christian, because he's got all this accountability with you guys. So it's having a huge impact.
Yeah. What we need to do is to encourage people, and because there's so many people here that have a foot on them, like Josh would say, we need to have a handout to them and encourage them, and to find the potential in their lives, because everybody has it. I mean, you just got to dig for it. And then in the Great Commission, in verse 28 verse, I don't know. The main thing is to the main thing about it is become the disciple, yes, but you need to obey the commandments that God puts before you. And that's kind of what I've been doing down there, is being these guys' Holy Spirit at times and giving them the stuff that they need to know. Because if you're not obeying, then you're not obeying. And God does not bless you when you're not obeying. And so that's where I got to kind of keep on these guys and say, hey, don't do that, do this. Don't do that, do this. Now get on the weight bench and shut up and do it.
So yeah. They return that to you also. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Rob. Awesome stuff. So Rob is spending, did you pick up on that? He's spending time every week, a few nights a week with these guys. And yeah, at times he is telling them, hey, you need to stop doing that thing. But he's also encouraging them day in and day out. He earns that trust to be able to say that's not the right way to live, because he's already shown so much compassion and love to these guys. So Rob's a great example of how Maywoods is trying to make disciples. And it's not maybe the normal way, but Rob's found something that he enjoys, that he's into, to build a community around. And he's pointing those people towards Jesus. And as we're all here in the room today, we've got to be challenged by Rob and think, who are the people that I can point to that say, oh, that person got baptized a year ago, and I was a part of it, and now that person has helped somebody else become a Christian. I mean, that's a challenging example to live up to. So we're going to go to our next passage here. It's the second passage that Maywood really buys into. And we've got a picture of a coach here on the left, and we're really big. Every week we're talking about Coach Bob, Coach Jake, Coach Wayne. The place we get that from is from Ephesians chapter 4. And I think the first passage we shared, the Great Commission out of Matthew, I hope that every church would say we're trying to do that. But like I said, Maywood isn't every church, and we really feel passionate that God's also called us to live up to this passage. And this is some of what makes us unique, I would say. So starting in verse 7, it says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. What this means is that, yes, Jesus came to save the whole world, and he's willing to forgive everybody of their sins. But he's got a particular grace towards you. Jesus has a particular plan for Dan. He's going to treat Dan in a particular way, and it's different than the way he's going to treat Mia. It's not that he's unfair to one or the other. It's that he's got a particular plan for that person's life. And he's got grace that he wants to give them in a particular way. So every one of us is going to get grace from Jesus, get a relationship with Jesus that's going to be a little different. He goes on to say, this is why it says, when Jesus ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. So Jesus is heading up, but he took us with him. He freed us from our bondage, like we talked about last week. But not only did he just come to set us free, he didn't just want to set us free from our addiction or our selfishness or our broken relationships. He wanted to give us gifts. And the reality is that we believe full-hearted here at Maywood is that every single person in this room, as soon as you say, Jesus, I want to follow you, I want to be set free from my old life, Jesus gives you gifts. Jesus gives you talents and abilities that show his nature. And Bob and I don't have all the gifts, even between us, not even close. It's only when all of us are working together that we start to see all the aspects of God, okay? So this is really important. All of us, even from smallest to biggest, or however you want to measure it, every single one of us has been gifted by Jesus. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? Now, Ephesians can be kind of wordy and complicated, but this is a really cool promise, or a really cool statement about Jesus. It's saying that even though Jesus is headed up to this wonderful place, he got down as low as he had to get to meet us where we were. And that no matter where you've been, Jesus will meet you where you are and set you free to a new life. He's not going to leave you where you were. And if you've been walking with him for a while and you go sideways, he's going to call you out of that. But wherever you've been, he'll start fresh with you today. So he's always willing to stoop down and pull us up. This next verse says, Jesus who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. To put this really simply, it means that Jesus is the fullness of life. That every aspect of goodness, it's full in Jesus. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. So this is where we get the idea of coaching. It says right here, straight out, it says a job description for pastors and other leaders at the church. What are we supposed to do? It says we're supposed to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So it doesn't say that Bob should be really popular and make sure that the pews are full every week. It doesn't say Jake should be a saint and stay at the hospital 24 hours a day visiting the sick. It's not that those things are bad things. It's great to visit people. It's great to preach. But it doesn't say everyone should like the pastors. It doesn't say the pastors should be heroes. It says pastors should equip everybody in the congregation to use their gifts to build up the church. And so that's why we call ourselves coaches, because that's what a coach does. A basketball coach doesn't shoot any baskets, doesn't get any rebounds. The basketball coach sees the potential in his or her players, and he helps those players reach their potential as a team. And so our role as pastors is to see the potential in Rob, and I don't have to be standing over Rob's shoulder, or Bob doesn't have to be down there lifting weights. We can let Rob use his gifts to bring other people to Jesus. And so this really, really excites me, this idea that all of us working together are what we're shooting for here at Maywood, because it goes on to tell us what happens when we do that. When we're all working together until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. It says when we start working together as a team, when we start getting unified, that we get to know Jesus better than we've ever known him before. And then it says that we'll become mature. That's a word we throw around a lot, but Ephesians defines it for us. Here's what maturity is. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That means that if Maywood Baptist Church really lives up to this passage, if our leaders are coaches, and if all of us use our gifts together as a team, then we're going to be Jesus to Western Independence. It will be the exact same as if Jesus were walking around Western Independence. People will be set free through what God is doing through Maywood. So this is a lot to shoot for, and we're not all the way there by any means, but I wanted to invite a couple people up that talk a little bit about how we're trying to do this coaching thing. So John Burton and Brian English, wherever you guys are at, if you could come up. And while they're getting situated, I've heard a lot of leaders, give little pep talks where they say, oh, we're a team and we're going to all do this together. But then when everything gets really stressful or the project's on the line, the leader just takes the wheel because they don't really trust the other people. And it's always bothered me when I'm on a team and I have a leader like that, that when everything gets hard, they just want to take over. Well, here at Maywood, we haven't done that. We've gone through a really rough year this year at Maywood, and the hardest thing that we've gone through, I would say, by far, is the loss of Josh Monk. So we lost Josh this last November, died, and he was a coach. He was one of our four primary leaders, and he was unique in so many ways, in his passion and his devotion and his giftings, and there's no second Josh Monk. There's not going to be another Josh to just fill that role. And so it was a crisis on a lot of levels here at church. Bob and I were struggling personally with it, but also we were struggling in just a very physical way. If Josh led a lot of things like no one else could lead them, and how are we going to keep moving forward as a church? We knew Josh didn't want all the things that he had done to just fall on their face because he wasn't here. Well, it fell to me to become the leader of Josh's Sunday school class, which this is a picture of that class last Sunday. They met in the gym last week. Now, the Sunday school class, not only is it about half of all the adults that come to Maywood for Sunday school, it's like something I've never seen ever in any sort of church. I've been in other countries and stuff. I've never seen something inside church walls that has people that are so raw and yet are being transformed by Jesus together. So, I mean, I don't even, it's just miraculous is what I would say that class is. So I knew, like, I couldn't make something like that. I feel intimidated to sustain something like that. So I began to pray about, God, what do you want to do with this class? It was more than I could handle. And the great thing about God is God didn't call the pastors to be able to handle everything. God gave us a team. And so God had given me a passion for a program called flight training. And I saw that that was why God had me be the leader of that class. Wasn't to get up and talk during the class. It was to train some other leaders to take over. So we've had a group of 8 people leading that class, and they're in partners together. So these are 2 of our partners that help lead that class. So, Brian, talk to me a little bit about what is flight training.
Well, like Jake was saying earlier out of Ephesians, Jesus called them to equip us and equip the church to be more leaders. And we're just kind of the first group. And for whatever reason, he picked the 8 people that he did because he saw potential in us. And we all have our own unique spiritual gifts, but just because God gives you a gift doesn't necessarily mean you're really good at it or that you can't improve. And Jake's made that very clear. And so he gets us down there, and he just teaches us how to be better leaders and how to be more effective and how to be better speakers and lots of things that you don't think really have anything to do with church, but things that help us convey the message a lot better. And lots of homework.
There is lots of homework. So, yeah, flight training is this program over the course of the year. These guys are getting ready to be pushed out of the nest is kind of the idea of flight training. So it's not a program that goes forever. But, John, a couple of years ago, do you think you would have ever would have thought that you'd be in a program like this?
Absolutely not. A couple of years ago, I was attending the meetings that we have upstairs, the Narcotics Anonymous meetings, and through that, basically, NA has been a stepping stone for me. That was, for me personally, that was Jesus' plan to get me into church, was because I was real turned off of the concept of Jesus and God, because I didn't know him. That was the thing. I was just brought up in the wrong, you know, I was just brought up wrong. So anyways, as I came here last January and ended up in Josh's Bible study class, I've just been coming here ever since. Come to the Wednesday classes, and it's been a little over a year, and Jesus is already working miracles in my life. You know, all I had to do was just basically surrender to him and let him work through me, and the Holy Spirit work through me.
And what has it been like in flight training so far?
It's been pretty good. We're doing the Celebration of Discipline book, and basically that's just some disciplines that we need to practice in our daily lives. We started out with meditation, prayer, fasting, and then now we're doing the study. So
yeah, and John is a very humble guy, but I've seen a lot of great things already in John. But I want to point out things that he mentioned about, like, he wouldn't have ever seen himself in this spot. And even as I've invited him into the group or invited him to lead different things, there's been some hesitation because John hasn't done things like that before or didn't see himself as having that much potential. And so for a lot of us in the room, you might be thinking, well, I can't really lead something or I can't use a gift. But John is a great example to, I think, all of us, that there's a lot of potential. If Jesus says that he's put a gift in you, then there's something valuable inside of you that shows off his love in a way that no one else can show it off. So, Brian, I know a lot of people here in the room know you, Brian. You've been here for a long time. Everybody that knows you respects you. What do you see in John?
Well, I think if you're here, God's got a plan for your life. And he definitely has got a plan for Johnny's. And Johnny hadn't been doing it this long, and he hadn't been coming to his church that long. He hadn't been reading his Bible that long. And there's a lot of things he hadn't been doing that long. But what he has been doing recently is being very obedient, and you can see it in him. And he just jumped right in, sink or swim, and he's swimming, you know. And he gets up, and he'll be nervous, and he don't know what to say, but he just lets the Holy Spirit lead him. And I mean, you heard him speak. He's good, you know. And and I'd say that there's a bunch of Johnnies out in the audience right now. And just don't be scared. And just when Jake tells you to do it, get out there and do it for Jesus.
So, John, our last question, we've been reading this passage in Ephesians. We're trying to live up to it. How do you see that passage and flight training fit together?
Well, it like I said, it calls for prophets and apostles and teachers and pastors. And to me, what this flight training is all about is just practicing some of the spiritual principles that the program of Narcotics Anonymous has taught me, which comes from church. You know, it's all derived from church. But everything that's happening in my life, I give all the glory to Jesus Christ. You know, it's nothing that I've done on my own accord. I'm very blessed and I'm very grateful that God has given the grace and mercy to a junkie addict like me.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And, yeah, it's just practicing some humility, some love, being of service to others, and, you know, just speaking the truth of Jesus Christ and what he was sent here to do for us.
Thank junkies you. Junkies for Jesus.
There you go. Thank you, Brian. Thanks, Johnny.
Good. We have a whole lot of people like Brian and John who the Lord rescued, and he brought them out to put them in a place where they, in turn, can help other people get to the place where God's taken them. I enjoy the class that we were just in immensely. It's a wonderful gift, and there are lots of other things like lifting weights, Rob, with you and your buddies. Here's what I'd like to ask you to think about, and that is that there is a wonderful opportunity for you today, and that is to first of all start following Jesus Christ. And so these guys went from being a really mess to being pretty magnificent because they said yes to the Lord and they started following him and walking with him. And so make that number one on your agenda. And then John, I know he and I are prayer partners. And he reads the Bible every day, and he prays every day, he seeks God every day. And so that is immersed in the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can't lose if you do that, okay? And then when you do that, God's going to be your teacher, and they've been learning. And that's for all of us, okay? So that's one thought. Please consider responding to that today. Please say, okay, God, sign me up. Put me in business. There's another thought, and there's some of us that I hope these men stirred you up and said, you know, I can do something. I need to find out, you know, what I've got. I need to come out of the stands and get on the playing field. You know, I don't need to be one of those Monday morning critics that talks about what's going on or not going on, but I need to be one of the players, all right? And so I would ask you to think, how can I play my game better? What God, are you doing in me? And so I'm not as Rob is. He was the Holy Spirit for his guys. I'm not that for you all, but the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And listen to him and say, what have you got for me? What do you want from me? Okay? So let's go ahead and stand, please. And the worship team's already up here. And we're going to give you all about 10 minutes just to respond to God and let him speak to your heart and your life. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your grace. And I pray that you help us to respond to you. Lord, for those who today just need to follow you, Lord, give them hope to follow you today. Hope just to say, I can do this. I can walk with God and be a friend of God. Lord, help them with that. Lord, immerse us all, I pray, in the presence of your Spirit. Lord, may we know your life in us in a real way. Help us to do that. And then, Lord, I thank you so much for that Ephesians passage that we have. Lord, help us all to be playing the game and help us coaches to do a good job of coaching. Show us how to do it, we pray, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.